You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm running about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to site now. We'll look at all our waiver wire pickups, as well as the early positional rankings, as well as our start sitcom, My Decider. That'll be up here later on Tuesday, as well as a pick straight up and picks against the spread. Here we got it, however, before we totally move on to week 12 on Locked On Fantasy Football, we have to put a bow on week 11. We'll do that with our takeaways from Monday Night Football, the Chiefs-Chargers game. Then we'll dive into the waiver wire and looking at first the quarterbacks, both streaming and some longer-term options. There's not too much longer-term now when we're in week 12, but just to get you wins, guys that can fill in during a bye week, and we still have some this week, mainly with the Chiefs and Vikings off, some major players there as well as the Chargers out of commission and the Cardinals, so some valuable players there that typically you won't look at, but you got to dig a little deeper here on your rosters, either to play right away or to create some depth here down the stretch. And we'll look at all positions there, start quarterback, and then go through running back, wide receiver, tight ends, and of course the streaming defenses of the week. So that's how this show will go here. It's a pickup Tuesday, another one here, week number 12. Let's talk about that final game in week 11, the Chiefs and Chargers. It was an ugly offensive showing. We expect a lot more points, the higher altitude and all that. 24-17, the Chiefs win this game. It wasn't pretty here for Patrick Mahomes. The Chargers defense, we know, is very good against the pass, vulnerable against the run. The Chiefs actually piled up a lot of rushing yards. A lot of it came from Patrick Mahomes, who had a career high 59 rushing yards on 5 attempts. LeSean McCoy looked pretty good when they gave it to him. Darrell Williams had to finish the game 11 for 35 in the score, but McCoy and Williams get in the end zone. The big story here was Damian Williams got hurt with a ribs injury. McCoy had to later leave with a head injury. Well, they explained why McCoy was not active there in week 11 and why it was all Damian Williams. They wanted to give him extra rest, so to speak. So not a doghouse situation as we thought. And McCoy certainly proved that here in 7 for 29, the ground, a touchdown there, and then 4 catches for 28. The injury to Williams helped. We'll see what Williams is looking like after this bye, what McCoy's looking like. He had a little head injury, had to be checked there for concussion, so we'll have to see there. Is it going to be the Darrell Williams show, Damian, LeSean McCoy? But I would expect if Damian is healthy, he's the guy slightly over McCoy. McCoy more the receiving back, with Darrell Williams maybe more the red zone power back. So still a little bit messy there. Unfortunately, if you started Damian Williams with confidence, you're really disappointed with McCoy and Darrell Williams doing the damage here. And McCombs, he needed those 59 yards rushing because he only had one touchdown, 182 yards passing. It was a struggle. But the Chargers are pretty good against the pass. They shut down Aaron Rodgers. That's where their strength is. They're not as good against the run, but he still manages 59 yards rushing, which is almost like another TD. Get 6 points for them. Had the TD as well to Travis Kelce through an interception, so not a typical Patrick Mahomes smash spot if you needed him, but that he's going to have those type of games in a tough matchup to still come through those numbers is okay. Travis Kelce, 7 for 92 and a touchdown here on 10 targets. The big story in the receiving core was that Tyreek Hill went down with a hamstring quad issue there. So we'll see what's going on after the bye. If he just needed to be healed, they just didn't want to take any chances given the bye is coming up. And usually with those soft tissue injuries, you'll do that, get that extra full game and time of healing so he's not out there to re-aggravate. So there's that. And so we'll see what the Hill status is going forward. But Kelce had to dominate the targets because, frankly, between Mecole Hardman and Sammy Watkins, there's a lot of penalties here called back on some potential plays for them. But Watkins had 3 targets here, Hardman 4, but they just went to running, trusted the backs and Kelce most to kind of grind this game out. And that's what you saw with the box score. Kelce in a good spot. He usually struggles against the Chargers, but came through big time. The heel injury kind of helped him overall with the targets. He had 10, and he found the end zone again. So Travis Kelce looking more like Travis Kelce at the right time in the fantasy football season here, and we'll have to see about Hill. Hopefully he'll be okay with that rest. It's a good time for it, really well, because you were going to prepare to be without Hill anyway here in week number 12. Now, the Chargers side of things, Phillip Rivers, 353, that's good, but one touchdown only and four interceptions. A very Jameis Winston-like game for Phillip Rivers, except that Rivers gives you nothing rushing to defuse that, and he didn't get the multiple touchdowns either. So overall, bad game with the four picks. They had a lot of chances, including all the way down to the wire in the red zone with a chance to score. Instead, he throws a pick there intended to Austin Eckler there. So Rivers still a bit of a mess here. Hopefully they'll correct some things here for him, because he's bringing down this passing game a little bit. But you have to say, when Austin Eckler goes 8 catches, 108 on 12 targets, you're very pleased with that. 6 rushes, 24. Great day for Eckler. Melvin Gordon looked pretty good too with his 17 touches for 90 yards, but he didn't get in the end zone, unfortunately. Eckler didn't, but in PPR league, he smashed it here with the 12 targets. So Gordon and Eckler, we both liked. They came through and didn't get the score, but a lot of that was on Rivers and not on them in this game. Now, Mike Williams came through okay if you're looking for wide receiver 3 in a standard league. 2 catches, 76. Not very good in PPR. Very big play dependent, not touchdown dependent like he was last year. He needed a 50-yarder near the end of the game to salvage his value there. Keenan Allen looked sharp, like we used to see Keenan Allen. He actually got in the end zone in this one. 8 for 71 on 12 targets. So he's fine. Hunter Henry looked good. 6 for 69. He wanted a little bit more, but this tight end landscape, PPR, you'll take 6 for 69 in most cases. A very Rob Gronkowski-friendly number there. So Rivers, I assume he's still going to be the starter after the bye. 7 interceptions in the past 2 games. Extremely disappointing. You certainly cannot play him at all right now. And at least you're getting the distribution. He's not hurting the backs too much. They'll probably lean more on these backs, Gordon and Eckler, with his struggles there throwing the ball downfield. But it's amazing that Henry, Allen, Williams, Gordon and Eckler were all productive when Rivers was having a meltdown at the same time. So maybe QB independent players that the Chargers have. So you can imagine if Tyrod Taylor might be in there taking over, what this production could be like. But again, you're happy about it for the most part, but Rivers can be a buzzkill for everything that is good and positive there elsewhere with the Chargers skill position players. Now at quarterback, Phillip Rivers certainly not going to be on the radar here for streaming time soon. Certainly not when he's not playing here in week 12, but just can't trust him at the moment. At quarterback, however, Baker Mayfield now is someone we can trust. He's got a good matchup this week against Miami. 2 straight good games, multiple TDs there for Baker Mayfield. He could make it David Njoku back this week at tight end, looking like that. So you have Jarvis Landry playing well, connected with him. Odell Beckham Jr. can certainly slash this team without Xavier Howard in coverage. So could be a big game for Beckham to help Mayfield as well. So great spot. I mean, they have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and those guys could run and go off in this game. So I don't expect a high ceiling. This should be a little resistance game for Baker Mayfield, but 250 and 2 should be easily in the offing for him this week with Chubb and Hunt closing their well in the game. Jeff Driskel, you have to look at as well. I mean, he's played very well here the past 2 weeks. He got a couple scores there, had the one rushing touchdown and 50 yards there against the Cowboys as well. So 2 passes to Marvin Jones in the end zone. Great matchup this week against the Redskins, who seem they've given up defensively for sure. Secondary can't cover either Galladay or Jones. So great spot for Driskel. Sam Darnold and Derek Carr in the same game. Could be a sneaky little shootout here. Raiders at Jets. It also could be a sneaky low scoring, but these secondaries stink. Most of the pointage is going to come through the air. These running defenses are actually pretty good of late. The Raiders have been very solid there, so Le'Veon Bell could be slowed down. Josh Jacobs could be slowed down. They'll probably have to do a little bit of work in the passing game. But these receivers are certainly good enough, and corners on both teams are not very good enough where you look at them as options as well. But Mayfield and Driskel I like a little bit more, and also two of my better DFS values for this week. Now, looking at Ryan Tannehill and Nick Foles, who do you go with there? I think I like Tannehill a little bit more there. He's at home. Foles on the road. I mean, he was okay. He got the 300 yards and a couple TDs there. But yeah, he's going to get you the decent production. But Tannehill, the running, the Jaguars have given some stuff up there with the rushing quarterback. So that helps Tannehill as well as his throwing. So if I had to go Tannehill or Foles, if you're desperate in that matchup, certainly going Tannehill there this week. So those are some of the options you can look at quarterback. Not too much doing there. And after this bye week with the Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray and Kirk Cousins and Phillip Rivers all off, you won't be reaching as much a quarterback, but you need to keep all these options in mind this particular week. We'll get to the running backs and wide receivers next, close with tight ends and defenses. But first, I got to tell you about DoorDash. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you. With DoorDash, right now, you, the listener to Locked On Fantasy Football, can get $5 off your first order, $15 or more, when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code Locked On. Listening on the go, if you can't visit DoorDash right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. We'll be right back to start looking at the running backs and wide receivers on the waiver wire. All right, here we go. Running back. This is the situation we're trying to navigate first. The Indianapolis Colts, definitely going to be without Marlon Mack this week. Hand injury, they're playing Thursday night. Jonathan Williams looked really good against the Jaguars, and he should be in line for most of the touches. Jordan Wilkins, however, could return. He wouldn't have practiced, however, early in the week in an estimation. So he said he might be good to go, but we're not buying that yet. He did miss last week's game with an ankle. So Jonathan Williams, their power running team, he's the power runner on this team. Wilkins does have some juice, and who knows if Mack had gotten hurt there and Wilkins was healthy and active, would he have gotten the touches? So we'll watch the JW battle between Jonathan Williams and Jordan Wilkins. I think a lot of people are going to flock to Williams. And if Wilkins is out, certainly Jonathan Williams is going to take that Marlon Mack role this week against the Texans. Keep in mind the Texans are pretty good against the run. So Nyheim Hines could have some appeal there. He was active as the receiving back like he always was, but they need to distribute the touches a little bit between Williams and Hines against the Jaguars. Williams really smashed it. I don't see him necessarily doing the same thing against Houston on the road this week. And if Wilkins is in there, it complicates things on the early downs. And Hines' presence caps Williams. He's a little bit touchdown dependent now, kind of like Marlon Mack was, to really have the big games with Hines. May need a little bit more run if the Texans lead in this game and the Colts throw. So, again, Williams is where I would target first. Hines, if you're a bit desperate in a PPR league, but watch the Wilkins status here, because he certainly could be splitting here with Williams, and then it really hurts their value in a tougher matchup this week. Now, we mentioned Darrell Williams. If there's something lingering with Sean McCoy and Damien Williams is out for a while, he's certainly going to have appeal after the bye. Gus Edwards, I mean, he came on strong again. He's been the upside guy, not Justice Hill behind Mark Ingram. We've seen it in multiple weeks now, so had only 8 carries, but had over 100 yards, ran all over the Texans there in a mop-up mode, so he's someone to watch. Alexander Mattison, Tony Pollard, we've gone through this drill again. Make sure you're investing behind your assets. Mattison might be out of sight of mind. Somebody might drop him this week. If you're the Dalvin Cook owner and have been waiting for Mattison to be available, maybe because of buys, someone drops Madison's available, so take advantage of that. Tony Pollard, Zeke Elliott owners everywhere need to have Tony Pollard to have that insurance here for the stretch run. And Bo Scarborough, I mean, it's the Lions. They seem to just start whoever they pick off the waivers or practice squad and put them in there. We saw that with Trey Carson over Ty Johnson. They simply do not like Ty Johnson. He was cleared of the concussion. He was active. Bo Scarborough was still the back of choice on early downs. J.D. McKissick still being worked in. Still a very pass-heavy team. Scarborough a little touchdown dependent. So I just don't want to fall in this trap. We fell in the trap of Ty Johnson. We fell in the trap of Trey Carson. It's just so tricky with the Lions. Very old school Bill Belichick, Patriots, the Jonas Gray, whoever is out there, next man up. The matchup is very good against the Redskins, and that is the appeal if you're in desperate times and you need someone to fill in. Bo Scarborough would be that option this week. And Trey Edmonds, you have to look at. It looks like James Conner's probably going to miss the game against the Bengals. The Bengals are so bad against the run, so that's good news for Jalen Samuels. But Trey Edmonds, more of the traditional runner in that matchup. So we'll see if the Bengals kind of gang up and make Mason Rudolph beat them, especially with the wide receivers hurting for the Steelers. that could be the case. The Bengals are so bad against the run. They were actually okay. They contained Josh Jacobs last week. He still got over 100 yards, but Edmonds could be in the mix there with Jalen Samuels this week. Now, speaking of the Steelers, James Washington, a great pickup here against the Bengals. He's going to have to see targets here with Juju Smith-Schuster and Deontay Johnson, both likely to miss the game here. So Washington, we know the Mason Rudolph connection. The Cincinnati secondary is not that great. Maybe some run, play off, play action deep to James Washington. That could certainly happen. Now, Mecole Hardman certainly has appeal. Again, should Tyreek Hill miss time here after the bye, but again, he can't use play help you this week. Two guys that could help you this week, Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard. The Giants, I mean, Shepard could return, but we know Darius Slayton has kind of rocked in with Daniel Jones. Tricky matchup this week at Chicago, so that's not too appealing for now, but some good matchups coming up for the Giants. So Slayton and Shepard, I think Slayton is still going to be the guy. Shepard is still a long ways away from playing with a concussion, so we'll see about that. And we look at the next games a little bit better there than this one this week, but Slayton certainly locked on Daniel Jones enough to get your attention here in fantasy. Now, Randall Cobb doing a lot in the slot, not necessarily liking him this week against the Patriots, but being involved a lot. Amari Cooper is a little limited, so they need to distribute the targets, but Cobb looking like his old Packer self all of a sudden here with Dak Prescott balling out. Taylor Gabriel in a good spot in that Giants-Bears game. Number two receivers have really eaten up the Giants away from Janoris Jenkins, so figure Jenkins and Allen Robinson. Gabriel been pretty solid here in PPR for several weeks, even with Mitchell Trubisky's being troubled, so there's that with Gabriel. Looks like one of those sneaky Gabriel games this week. Now, Robbie Anderson, again, big play threat. Didn't have the big play, had the touchdown there, but the Raiders give up a lot of big plays, so a little bit of a dart throw there with the Jets. Corey Davis and AJ Brown, it's always a dart throw if you're going to trust a Titans wide receiver, but had the bye. Both of them should be healthier this week. Corey Davis in a good spot. They're going forward to be the number of target, but A.J. Brown could be the better player this week with A.J. Bouye, possibly in Corey Davis this week. Alan Lazard, we got to watch him having a bigger role after the bye. Might be the next most trusted receiver after Devontae Adams for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Hunter Renfrow, if you're looking for some deep PPR help, he's that type of guy in the Cole Beasley range there that can help you there. And Tim Patrick clearly established as now the Broncos' number two wide receiver back healthy. Had a very nice game against the Vikings. Tough maybe against the Bills this week, but Tre'Davious White could be containing Cortland Sutton, so they'll open things up. But don't love the matchup with Tim Patrick, someone you have to put on your radar for sure. So there's your running back and wide receiver look here for the Week 12 waiver. I will finish the show with tight ends and defense in a moment. But first, I got to tell you, make sure you're checking all the great shows on the Lockdown Network, especially NFL. All our team-by-team podcasts are killing it. We have our national podcast there and all things NFL with Matt Williamson and Brian Peacock. And don't forget to Crossover Wednesday, where hosts of two opposing teams that particular week have a talk about the matchup that you need to know and their thoughts from both sides there of a particular game. So check that out for sure. It's a good segment and a good day of shows there on Wednesday. And tomorrow we'll have Matchup Wednesday here, starting to break down all the games of Week 12 for you on Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here to close the show looking at tight ends and defenses on the waiver wire. All right, let's turn our attention to tight ends and defenses here as we close the show. Ryan Griffin, we have to look at for sure, tight end. Big game against the Redskins, gets the Raiders, got a good matchup ahead. Three of the last four have been very good for Ryan Griffin here for the Jets tight end. So Sam Darnold seems to be locked in. Adam Gase seems to be calling his number. Caught all five targets for over 100 yards and a touchdown last week. So good spot for Ryan Griffin. David Njoku, as I mentioned, could return to help Baker Mayfield. Way back in week one, he scored. He had 37 yards receiving and a touchdown there in six targets. So, again, Njoku, good matchup against the Dolphins this week at home. Cameron Brate being more involved with the O.J. Howard benching. He was great. 10 catches for 73 yards on 14 targets last week for Brate. Gets the Falcons this week, so he could be busy working in the middle of the field there for the Buccaneers. Jacob Hollister coming back off bye. It looks like the new Will Disley here for Russell Wilson. The matchup against the Eagles, they're typically weaker in the secondary, but we'll have to see what happens with Tyler Lockett. That could be increased targets here for DK Metcalf, Hollister, and one Josh Gordon. Noah Fant, maybe the last call for him to look at here for the Broncos. Clearly the 2A or 2B option, with along with Tim Patrick behind Sutton there for Brandon Allen. It's a matchup against the Bills. Not too bad this week if you need Noah Fant there. He's a big playmaker and they need him. And he's really kind of been their best field stretcher after Sutton now, ever since they traded Emmanuel Sanders. Then look at Ross Dwelly just in case. We know they plugged and played him in that Cardinals dominant tight end matchup role over George Kittle, and he got a lot of key targets, 4, 14, 2 scores. So if he had to miss Green Bay again, keep Ross Dwelly on standby just in case. Of course, if a Kittle looks like he's going to play this week, Dwelly has zero value. Now we close the show looking at some defenses here. The Browns are a good place to start this week at home against the Dolphins. I mean, good smash spot. They had a big game last week against the Steelers. They do have some personnel missing, we know. Myles Garrett, Emmanuel Ogba are not going to be in this game, but they have a lot of other playmakers here. Joe Schobert in the middle. They blitz very well. They have Denzel Ward on the back end to make plays, as well as their safeties, Greedy Williams. So there's plenty to menace Ryan Fitzpatrick in this game, even without Ward. Remember, Chad Thomas had a pretty nice game. Sheldon Richardson. All these guys can still disrupt up front. And Olivier Vernon, by the way, is supposed to come back this week, so that certainly helps there without Myles Garrett. And then the Falcons, again, looking very good. They get the Buccaneers at home. They've had two smash games and division games against the Saints and Panthers. Get some sacks, some turnovers there. Falcons defense starting to play really well with the pressure packages under Dan Quinn and the staff. Now, the next team you look at, the Lions, they're going to face Dwayne Haskins on the road. Not a very good defense, the Lions are, but Dwayne Haskins so far is not a very good rookie quarterback. The mistakes there that you can prey on there. The Texans are typically better at home. I know I like the Colts a little bit with their running game and Jacoby Brissett, but they are typically better. They can contain the run, maybe get after the quarterback, get some turnovers there, emotional primetime bump of playing at home on Thursday Night Football. And then finally, if somebody still is out there that in a league where the Saints are available, you got to jump on them. I know it was tough to see them after that bye week and just get smashed here by the Falcons and not have a good performance, but they rebounded in strong style against the Buccaneers and get Kyle Allen at home, struggle with the turnovers and the sacks last week. So the Saints, again, if they're out there and available, you have to look at them this week. And some tougher matchups for the better defenses, the Patriots facing the Cowboys, the 49ers face the Packers both at home, but tougher offenses, so you may need to be a little bit more creative and deeper to stream defenses this particular week. And Browns, Falcons, Lions, and Texans certainly give you a lot more options here in week number 12. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of all the good stuff on the waiver wire this week. Good. Everything can help you there in some form, so you always have to be looking to improve. If you think your team is set, you can always get some better depth. You can always upgrade at a position or two, even at this crucial time of the year. You're trying to win all the games, so you want to get all the points you can get, all the players that are available out there. And you also want to, if you're headed to the playoffs in fantasy football, back up all your main assets and be set for the fantasy football playoffs as well. So you have your Pickup Tuesday now in the books. Again, don't forget Matchup Wednesday tomorrow as we start looking at the games there. We'll look at half the games on the schedule. Seven games tomorrow. Then we'll come back and look at the seven other games, break them all down for you on Matchup Thursday. And then Lineup Fridays, where we do our DFS-centric show, look at some Thursday Night Football takeaways, and also give you the injury updates you need to know. So we're in the middle of the progressive. We call Locked On Fantasy Football every week. We're glad you're joining us. And again, we'll get you through it. Still several weeks to go. A lot of good fantasy content, and we'll deliver it to you here on Locked On Fantasy Football. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.